Hello, this is Rob Robinson, the chair of the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee, and this is our regular programming committee teleconference meeting that was rescheduled from last Monday. I would like to ask our secretary, Serena Roberts, to begin the meeting by calling the roll.
Hey, Teresa Allen.
Here.
Maria Armudian. Kate Campbell. Ken Freeland.
Here.
Patty Heffley. Ngozi Kamau.
Here.
Arturo Lemus. Norberto Martinez. Alan Minsky. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Serene Roberts, I am here. Rob Robinson.
Here.
Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
William Walker. Joe Wanzala.
Here.
Hey.
We are nine.
Hey. Sure. Well. Okay. The agenda is. I forgot to add to put on the agenda the approval of the agenda. So, can we? Does everyone have a copy of the agenda that I emailed to them?
Yeah.
Could I entertain a motion that we approve the agenda? And then if anyone wants to add or subtract anything, we can discuss it.
Well, I think we have to do that before. We have to make motions to amend before we can.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm sorry.
No. Rob was right. First, you make a motion to approve it. Then you make amendments.
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Any discussion or amendments in whichever order?
This would be the time for amendments.
Okay, I don't hear any. So if are there any objections to us approving the agenda as presented? Hearing none, we will approve the agenda and move forward and then go to the secretary's report. Serene, could you just give us a little rundown on the minutes, which I got from you earlier today?
Yeah, the minutes are about 80% complete. I apologize for not having gotten it out to you guys. Well, it wasn't complete, so I didn't send it to everyone. I just sent it to Rob. But it'll be finished up by tomorrow night, and it will be sent out to you all.
So I'll get that to everyone. Is that acceptable?
You'll get the final version.
The final version, yeah. Right.
This is Ken. I'd like to request that from now on that the minutes be sent out like within 10 days of the meeting, if possible, for the review of the members. Is that unreasonable? I mean, that's up to Serene, of course, whether she feels that's reasonable, but it seems to me that would be probably fair.
Yeah, it's absolutely reasonable.
Okay.
And it's actually easier the sooner you do it because it's fresher for everyone. But we did this, and then we had the board meeting at the end, you know, later in that week.
Right.
Nothing has been.
There's going to be exceptions to every rule.
Someone just joined?
Or left. Maybe that was Joel even.
Do we have a new member with us? I'm hearing a lot of background noise from someone's phone. Can whoever is there mute the microphone, if possible? Or
remind us how to mute the microphone, please.
Mute the...
Star six.
Star six, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so you will get the 328 minutes document within the next day or so. Thank you for your indulgence, and thank you, Serene and Ken. Did we get anyone else just coming in?
Yeah, Alan Minsky, KPFK.
Ah.
Oh, Alan, hello.
Hey, do we have quorum?
We have a quorum. Mm-hmm. We have approved the agenda, which I trust that you have.
I got it in front of me, got it.
Okay. And Serene has sent me a draft of the minutes today. She's been tied up, and I'm going to review them and get... And we're going to finalize them and get them out to everyone within the next day or so. And she's agreed that in future we're going to get the minutes to you within 10 days of the meeting so that you can make comments while it's fresh. Are there any things to add or discuss so far?
One question from Alan here. What's the time that we'll be have the meeting over, hopefully?
I would hope that we will be done by within an hour and a half. We began about 12 minutes past the half hour.
Okay, I hope that would be great, because I'm going to probably have to step away a few times to make a few bookings, but that's the job of the producer.
You're going to have to speak to your bookie, did you say?
Yeah, speak to my bookie. That's
okay.
Right.
Serene, one question I had, if you could just run over it quickly for us, and that's where there are documents that we're working with, particularly some of the historical documents. Have you found a place to archive that on Yahoo?
Well, there is a place to archive it. I haven't been able to get onto the listserv. I need to actually get William to add me, because I've had a change of address that was unplanned. Yeah. Consequently, I don't have access to the listserv, which is why I haven't been able to easily keep in touch with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I will talk to William about that. He's promised to do it within the next day or so, and I'll be able to then do that. Anything we want to post, we can then post.
Good, because I was just hoping that we could get all the stuff there, and then you can give all of us retrograde technology people instructions on how to use it. And then if people need to go back and refer to documents, there'll be a place for them. So
is the plan to put them on the files inside of... Okay.
Yes.
I need to let you know or remind everybody that in order to access those files, you will need to have a Yahoo ID, which is, of course, free, and anybody can get one. But if you don't have one, you won't be able to access those files until you get one.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, we'll have to have one consolidated instructions, but my goal is just to have one place where we can put everything from agendas to minutes to bylaws.
Right. Serene, that's a good place for it.
Serene?
Yes.
This is Ngozi.
Hi.
Look, when you speak with William, I wonder if you would make sure that my current email is included in that Yahoo group.
Okay, you don't have to give it to me now. I'll call you and get it.
Thank you much.
Okay.
All right. Let me see. Oh, I'd like Ken to go over the discussion on the subcommittee that talked about doing some collaboration on national programming. If you'll recall, one of the outcomes that many of us agreed on was the desire that our stations have developed core national programming in future. So Ken chaired a subcommittee that discussed that, and he circulated the and we sent another copy to you of the minutes of that meeting. But Ken, can you go over the highlights of that for us briefly?
Sure, I can do it very briefly.
Okay.
Before I do, I need to let people know that the report that you have in front of you omits the date of the next meeting of that subcommittee due to my error, and that would be the 15th. So it says Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, but that will be Sunday the 15th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time.
May 15th.
That was one of the earliest decisions that the subcommittee made. And I'm very happy to report that all subcommittee members were present. That would be Maria, Serene, Norberto, Joe, and myself. Everyone was present on the call, partly thanks to Serene's superior rounding up skills. And here's what we determined. After we began discussion of the question, which seemed pretty wide open, Maria proposed that that this idea of a collaborative news magazine be proposed as a pilot project rather than as a kind of set-in-place, must-carry, fully decked-out kind of program. In other words, a pilot project meaning one that would be available for people's participation, but you know, the details needing to be fleshed out yet still, but that it would not have any kind of solid broadcasting schedule at its beginning, and that we would work toward that, I guess. And here's the quote after much discussion that the committee arrived at by consensus. Sorry, the subcommittee. That the PNV Programming Committee recommend to the Pacifica National Board the development of a nationally collaborative pilot program to better utilize resources already available at our stations in order to provide in-depth reporting and analysis from a progressive point of view with a focus on issues and stories not adequately covered by the national media at the present time. And that's the end of that resolution. Then it was agreed that our next subcommittee would begin to take up fleshing some of that out, including particularly the question of broadcast frequency and funding, whether that would be part and parcel of the resolution or the recommendation, and exactly what that would consist of. But at this point, we feel consonant with one another to recommend that a pilot project or pilot program be instituted that would accomplish the goals that we've outlined here.
Okay, so I mean, I think that's a good outcome. It's clear that we want to see, you know, additional programming mm-hmm. of this type, but we want to see it done as collaborations, and mm-hmm. we'd like to make sure that we're clear what we're producing by doing pilots. I think that's good. Thank you, Ken. And are there do any of the members want to talk about the meeting, say anything about that before we move on to the next item?
Chair, this is Sean Rhodes at WBI. I have a question for Ken.
Sure.
This sounds promising, what you've highlighted here, but I have a question. Is there a projected date for the launch of this pilot project?
Not yet. That would probably be taken up as a sub-category of the broadcast frequency idea, because at this point it's not even clear how the subcommittee feels about how often this program ought to be aired, assuming you know that it had a regular broadcasting schedule. So that remains to be discussed, and there was a little controversy about that in our call. So until that gets settled, it'd be very difficult probably to talk about, you know, a launching date. So there are a couple of hurdles that need to be crossed before we can probably get to that point.
Well, another way of looking at it is mm-hmm. that if there's not a date to aim for, this can just, you know, hang in the air, no pun intended, until like maybe November or December.
Well, I think, let me put it this way. My personal feeling would be that we would want to attach a launch date to this. Once some of the major issues were settled, we would want to then say that at such a, we would like this done by such a date as has already happened with the Spanish language news, for example, that we know the launch date is January. I think we would want to do the same thing with this, to assure that it actually happens, you know, because like you're saying, if you leave it up in the air, it may be up in the air for a long time. If I understood you correctly.
Well, is there a window? Like, are you projecting like within the next 3 months, next 4 months?
Oh, I got you. I'd like to ask the other subcommittee members to speak to that. That wasn't discussed, and so that's open ended right now.
All right.
This is Bonnie. If you could put me on stack.
And then Serene, please.
Well, you're next, Bonnie, and then you can speak after her, Serene. So go ahead, Bonnie.
Along the same lines of what Sean was saying, has there been any discussion as to a procedure to actually get this organized? In other words, were you thinking that this would now go to GMs and stations where we actually have program directors to further discuss fleshing this out a bit, because until there is, you know, an idea of a budget for something like this mm-hmm. and when loosely we would be targeting it's going to run, that still leaves where's the there. You know, what is it, how long is it, and how do people actually contribute to this collaboratively?
Mm-hmm. I can speak to that unless any other subcommittee member would like to speak to it instead of me.
Yeah, this is Serene. That's sort of what I wanted to address. We have not, we had, I think our first meeting might have been just over an hour, maybe an hour and a half or something.
Right.
What we intend to address, and frankly, I think before we go to people and say we need you to consider making room for this, we need to discuss the possible length, the format. Do we want to structure it in half-hour segments so someone can choose to carry half-hour, or another station may choose to carry both half-hours? Obviously, the frequency of broadcast, when? Do we want for weekday? Do we want it for a morning? Although I think we need to have a much more concrete picture of what we want to offer, bring that back to the committee, and then take it to the PDs. I think PDs are already swamped with demands for time by innovative new programs, you know, that Joe Blow and his cousin bring in every other day. So I would like us to present something that's a lot more well thought out.
Right.
Yeah, my point was also that without a point person to sort of start going to the stations and seeing what those resources are that are going to be available at each station and kind of corral things, you're sort of talking about a show without an idea of a producer
mm-hmm.
or coordinator for the show. I mean, having time for it on the air is one thing, but I think that that's a little preliminary if you haven't yet discovered who's out there that's going to be able to actually work on this.
This is Ken. I think there is a chicken and egg problem here, and the question would be, and I'm following from what Serene's saying here, to the extent that we have not been able to flesh out what the show would consist of, how can we seek volunteers to produce it? The problem is, how much definition does it require before we can set it out there and put it up the flagpole and see who wants to salute it? You know, that's the issue, and I think it is an open-ended issue, but I'm not sure that it has an easy or clear resolution as to which would be the next step. But I think that since the committee's only met once, it needs the opportunity to meet at least a second time to kind of get the feel for what it feels comfortable with before taking it to the local levels to see what kind of support it can get for it. To put it that way.
Have we got some new members on the phone with us now?
Patty Heffley.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Hello.
Okay, I'd just like to add to that very quickly that the Administrative Council has a couple of directors that are supposed to be working on programming. I've asked them if they would get involved with this, and that's Roy Campanella and Ron Pinchback.
Mm-hmm.
And I have talked to all of the program directors in passing about participating. Ernesto couldn't be with us tonight. Also, so that we can talk about the Spanish language newscast, I've asked Eva Georgia if she could join us for the next call. So hopefully the points that everyone is making are correct. If we don't get closely involved with management, it's going to be hard to make anything happen with these proposals. Having said that, I want to go into the next part of the program. A number of people suggested that in getting this committee started, we need to think a little bit more about the mission, in particularly in the context of what policy areas are we going to be taking a look at developing policy for. And so I want to talk briefly about that. A couple of things. One is I want to go back to the statement in the bylaws that makes clear what our general area of mission is, and that reads as follows. The programming committee, which will ensure that programming at all Foundation radio stations meets and fulfills the Foundation's purposes as stated in the Articles of Incorporation. I distributed to everybody a document in which I laid out the six statements of purpose that are found in the Articles of Incorporation that pretty much define what the mission is. And I took my own stab, at writing down for each one of those statements some of the implications that occur to me about what some of the criteria would be by which we would measure how programming fulfills the mission. So the first statement in the articles is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes. And out of that, some of the questions that occur to me is how do we focus on programming that engages the curiosity and educational achievement of children, youth, and their parents? Similarly, what do we do to support the public education system in our communities? One of the next statements is that we establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, one or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934. That, for example, suggests to me one of the implications that I take out of that is that we've got a radio network that's being operated for educational purposes, and it requires really that one of the things we do is to maintain the demographic data about the communities in which we're operating, and also maintain databases on how we serve our listeners so that we can do the community needs assessments and take the information from the communities on the needs and what role they would like community radio to provide them in their community and put that into some kind of context. The third statement is the statement that begins, in radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community to conduct classes and so on and so forth. One of the things that suggests to me is that we're going to be defining and maintaining program goals and station services that significantly impact the community's cultural welfare. The fourth statement of mission is pretty much the peace mission. It says to engage in any activity that could contribute to a lasting understanding. Whoa. Can somebody hit *6 on their phone?
Please.
To engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, blah, blah, blah. This basically raises the question of, is our programming building bridges of understanding between people, a phrase which David Adelson has used in the past and referred to us today. The last area of mission is the statement that deals with the news and public affairs mission, which is to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium. And some of the issues that raises are, do we provide local, national, as well as international news? Do we maintain community calendars and public information databases? Do we have, for example, editorial boards for our local stations to help us analyze some of the local news? And do we provide the dialogues, the Blue Hill-style Pacifica dialogues, that provide voices from all spectrum, you know, from all points in the spectrum of an issue, so that we can inform people of the range of views? So this is an attempt for us to say, this is what our mission is, and what would some of the characteristics and what would some of the criteria be of our programming to make sure that we're implementing the mission. So is that process clear to everyone, and is there any discussion about how we can use that in attempting to delineate some of the policy areas that we may want to begin working on?
This, Ken, I'd just like to say on that sixth point that I think when we talk about sources of news not commonly found in the medium, mm-hmm. that we need to interpret that clearly as suggesting that stories that are not being covered by the mainstream are necessarily fruit for Pacifican mm-hmm. attention, and I would like that to be very clear in our pursuit of this particular part of the mission.
I agree. Stories as well as perspectives.
Yes, stories and perspectives.
Mm-hmm. No, Rob, I think it's definitely where we have to be grounded, and I appreciate the clarity
yes.
and the outline that you've developed here. And even moving on to the next page, on page 2, where you further brought in the specific Pacifica mission areas of the mission that have to be addressed by programming as well. So I definitely think we're on the right path here.
Okay, great. Now, and this is not just for me to put my ideas down. I'm suggesting that this is a process that everybody can bring their own particular skills. Alan Minsky, for example, is on the call as a producer with us, so he probably has a slightly different perspective, but I would invite everybody to work on that in your own right, or to critique what you see. Is that clear? Any further discussion or suggestions about how to move with this? Okay. Where we next go with this, then, I'd like to take some of the areas out of this where I think we're going to need to be developing some written policies within the context of the programming committee. One of the first ones that I think that's important has to do with this issue of programming. I think it's important that we understand that there are relationships between different types of programming. My sense is that almost all programming at Pacifica, whether they have to do with network broadcasts like the Negroponte hearings or the State of the Union address, are generated in some way from local stations, whether it's because the local station is in geographically in the area where it's taking place, or it's based on a program that began there. Even Democracy Now! Was built around Wake Up Call from WBAI. So the fact that we talk about having network broadcasts and national programming does not mean that those things are divorced from the local stations, the local voices, the producers and the host. In fact, the reality is that anything that we do that's a network broadcast or a national program that's of quality is going to, in all likelihood, come from a local show that's been successful, where we can add some production value and improve upon it. So that's one thing. The other thing is that there tends to be a relationship between local programs, you know, which serve the specific needs of the community and which have developed a local audience, and national programs that are developed, for example, with higher production values that enable the larger programs to attract a broad audience, and that having a program like Democracy Now! On, for example, in the morning means that the shows that follow it, or in many cases precede it, are going to have a broader audience. So there's a relationship
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Can I chime in
please.
At some point here? This is Alan Minsky.
Tell us yes. who you are so that we know your voice.
Alan Minsky, KPFK,
yep.
senior producer, LSB member, staff elected, and member of this committee. You know, the national programming, you know, is just left some of us dizzy because there are a number of different ways of looking at national programming, and certainly shows that are done on a daily basis that are national, like Flashpoints and Democracy Now!, or at least Flashpoints is a national like Democracy Now!, but it's put up on the KU and made available to affiliates, and the production value that goes into that. But then there are specific things, as you just cited, like the Negroponte hearings, Inauguration Day programming, other national programming, and that really needs to have better process.
Yes.
I think it's something that this committee needs to look at because, you know, we've been made dizzy, and a lot of the programmers here don't feel that the process is balanced or fair, that the same hosts get brought and invited into the national programming. The people who've been doing the national programming have basically become familiar with the people they've worked with, and have, in effect, excluded other programmers, and it's been a source of incredible contention here at
yes.
KPFK. So we really, really, I know the KPFK staff and many of our programmers really want to have the process worked out very clearly in that.
Well, and I think also, Alan, that we're finally beginning to hear new voices. So we're beginning to hear Sonali Kolhatkar, and we're beginning to hear Jerry Quigley. And the more we do, the more likely we are to be able to say in the future, yeah, let's get Jerry on to host one of these segments.
Well, I think, but again, I think the only thing, I agree, and I think obviously there was a big turnover in the network only 4 years ago. And now some of the people who are established locally have had the opportunity to be on some national programming, but I really think the absence of a clear process
yeah.
Has made things very difficult. And again, a lot of contestation has occurred.
Right. The point is well taken.
Necessary. Yeah.
The other thing is that there's also a relationship between this type of programming and the annual schedule, whether it's an election schedule. whether it's what holidays, we had the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education recently. But there's a relationship between network broadcasts, national programs, and local programs. If it's managed well, that can be not unlike the relationship between how you schedule your program with talk, news, public affairs shows, music, other cultural offerings. But the point is simply that there are these relationships in programming. What's primary for us is the local station programming, but we would like to develop some policies that outline some of these things, and as Alan suggested, that identify processes that make it fair and clear and give everybody a chance to shine their light. So that's all we need to say about that area. The second thing which I want to mention, which should be real straightforward about policy, I really think it's important, it's fundamental, that every station have space in its budget for certain positions and for certain levels of resources to support production and programming. That includes training, that includes staff with certain positions and titles, you know, including producers, so that we can assure that there's a certain level of quality at the local station. I think that's fairly straightforward. Does anyone have any questions about that?
Oh, I do. I'd like you to be clear about what kinds of positions you think every station needs to include in its roster that would have to do with production.
Producers in particular.
Well, yeah, but what, just general producer? They're being paid to be producer, generic producers, or what?
I think that all stations should maintain producers so that the programs that they've got, particularly the news and public affairs shows,
mm-hmm.
have certain levels of scripting, that they're able to check facts, that they're able to schedule guests, so that the production is well done.
Okay, so they could be news producers, right? And they wouldn't have to just be generic producers.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and it also extends to editors and so on. But for those of us, for those stations which have got staffs with 10 or fewer people, if we don't have producers on, and we all of a sudden start hearing all these complaints from the community, why don't you have more news and public affairs? One of the things you find they're saying is we'd rather that the shows sounded better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a relationship between that and the types of positions that you have. Similarly, if you look at many of our local station budgets, you can find lots of money in there for example, premiums. But if you look at what's being spent on training or what's being budgeted for production and programming per se, the items that you find under programming tend to be service contracts with technicians and service purchases for stuff like CDs. So all I'm saying is we need to have certain levels of resources included in all the station budgets that support programming. Okay? Any other discussion on that? The third area has to do with the issue of audience. I think we need to be clear that there are different aspects of audience. We want to have audiences which not only are broadly based so that they can support the revenue for the stations, but we also want to have programming that supports diverse audiences. We've talked about programming for diversity for years and years in Pacifica. We've never defined what we meant by that or put any programs into the field as far as I can say. We also now have to look at audiences because we've got a significant number and a growing number of affiliate stations. So that's another area where we need to take a look at how we develop our programming around audience. One of the things that the affiliate suggests is that in future when we do specials around particular issues, for example, if we wanted to do a special and talk about educational reform, how do you assure that the school district in your community is serving the needs of kids? These are issues that we ought to cover with the support and the assistance of some of our affiliate local stations. We've got some affiliate stations like WMVN in Tampa, which are just dynamite community radio stations, and we want to make sure that we include them when we develop programming.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the issue of listener sponsors and listeners. In looking at our audience of listeners, one of the things that we want to understand in terms of research and programming is how we convert listeners that are not members of the station, that are not listener sponsors, to listener sponsorship. So there are a number of issues like that with audience growth and audience building where we want to understand some of these relationships and look at policy from that standpoint. There's also everybody that's just not served by the traditional mainstream media outlets, whether they're commercial or non-commercial. We're increasingly the only game in town in the country and with a radio network, and I think that requires that we have some knowledge of what it takes to attract those people. In many cases, people don't listen to our station because they don't know that we're here. Is there any discussion about the audience area? If not, one of the big things that we've talked about in the network for years and have not actually developed anything that we've implemented in a big way is program evaluation. And some of the criteria for programming that I've provided to you have to do with the technical competency of the programming, which has to do with stuff like everything from cues to the sound to when announcements are made. Program goals and station services. One of the things in the ascertainment process that all of our stations are supposed to do, but not all of them may have in place, are program goals and station services. In fulfilling the mission, what is it that a station does on an annual basis? What are their program goals around health programming, around news and public affairs and music? And what station services do they provide to specific communities? We want to say that we serve under that we provide services to underserved communities, but do we understand, for example, in Latin American communities, whether they want information about particular access to service issues or whether they're more concerned about cultural enrichment or both? And if so, what things do they want? So that's another area that we need to take a look at carefully. The community advisory board, the ascertainment process that enables us to undertake community needs assessments is a process that's very, very important because it basically enables us to maintain a dialogue with our listeners in which they tell us what their needs are and how good a job they think we're doing with the existing program schedule and programming. And we have not for years really done a proper job of conducting those community needs assessments and then reporting back to station management and the national board. But the thing is, in order to do that, you've got to have demographics in place so that you know what the community is. You've got to be able to take a look and manipulate the listener databases that you've got. And you need to be able to have good dialogues with the community, whether you're doing, whether you're mailing them questionnaires or whether you're, more hopefully, you're using the radio itself to do town hall meetings. The community needs assessment process with the community advisory boards is a key aspect of program evaluation that we need to get off the ground. Another part of it has to do with just participation. In measuring the effectiveness of our programming, one of the key measures is, does the programming generate members, new members? Do the programs support an audience? Do they call in? Do they write? Do they use the websites? Participation is what we're about. Involvement is what we should be concerned about, not just how much money we earn from a show. Development in programming, I think is very key. One of the things,
Before you run out of
sure.
Just want to interject, always within the framework of mission-driven programming, okay? That it's always answerable to the educational mission of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a tendency, at least I've seen it here locally, at KPFT, to want to focus in on that question of building audience and building financial support, sometimes at the expense of looking at the mission-driven nature of the programming. So I wanted to just make sure that we always keep that part in mind as we're pursuing these also important sub-goals.
Absolutely. The other thing has to do with the development potential of our programming. Is our programming turning up new talent that's able to engage the audience and put mission-driven programming, in ever new formats presented, refreshingly in a fresh way so that the audience responds to it. The next item is audience research. What people have tried to do in the past is use the Arbitron research, which is fundamentally used to sell folks things. I think one of the things, clearly, that the Internet provides us with the capacity to do is to profile the existing listeners as well as the listener sponsors that we have, begin the process of measuring their listening and their membership behavior with the local stations, and understanding what determines those behaviors, whether it's around programming or whether it's around premiums, whether it's around the program schedule or whether it's around events that the station supports that they like to participate in. But getting to the point where we're able to use the Internet to maintain listener databases and to actually use them to do waves of research that will replace the types of things that Arbitron did is something that we need to take a look at. And if we can't get any further down the road this particular year, I think one of the things that we ought to do is have specifications for how we want to develop the websites so that we can begin capturing input from our listeners as they write to we need to invite them to write to us and tell us what they like about individual shows. I know many of the stations are doing that already, but that's an area of program policy that I think we need to push for development on that.
I'd like to interject something here too, Bob.
Absolutely, Ken.
I would like to say that I'm very happy to report that at KPFT we not only have a web site portal for people to be able to access the program review committee as well as the program director with feedback on given shows, but this last week we started a regular on-air invitation to people to access that resource, and I think it's a very well done PSA, and I'm really pleased with the way in which we're soliciting input on our programming. So I think that shows a model. I believe it's a good model for the network. There's no reason why network wide programming couldn't be doing the same thing, and why we couldn't have on the KPFT on the Pacifica website the similar feedback form, and that it would go to this committee. As well as to any national programming coordinator that ends up being appointed.
That's great. That's great. The other thing about audience research that actually came up in a discussion that I had with Sean Rhodes earlier is that although we can't do research for people that don't have the Internet, on the Internet, what we can do is we can do research using people that write to us and our membership lists to learn what they like about the programming, what they want improved, how they found out about us, and what are some of the things that we can do that are going to make them listen more, become more loyal listeners, or volunteer for the matter of that. So those are the general areas where I think we need to develop program policy, which, again, and all of these things flow directly from the mission and from the sense of what the mission requires us to do. So that's really the general direction I'd like us to focus on in terms of what we do with program policy. We've talked about some of these collaborations. You know, we're going to be involved in the issue of the Spanish language newscast as that goes on. But in terms of developing program policy, whether it has to do with local programming and the station resources that support programming and production, or whether it has to do with network broadcasts for special programming, that's generally the areas where I think we should be working. Is there any comment on this general approach? Is this making sense to you?
I have a couple of comments.
Yes, Joe.
One is kind of maybe a question clarifying. We talked earlier about having, you know, developing a policy around producers to support programming. Is the idea there to have, you know, producers per show or producers for departments and so forth? I guess one of my concerns there is for, you know, stations to become production heavy as opposed to programmer focused. Maybe that can be answered completely, but that's a concern, you know, in terms of in other words, I guess that should be probably, if that could be viewed or formulated in a way that the producers would have, you know, wide utility to work with several programs as opposed to adding producers for each program, you know, and expanding the staff, and just in terms of resources.
Well, at KPFA, you work with departments. Some of us didn't even have producers at the station until recently.
Right.
So I think really it's really up to the stations to work within the context of their own culture. It's naive of us to try to dictate, you know, the creative culture of the individual stations, but simply to try to identify some of the things you know, that are going to, that need to be in place, that are going to create a good environment for program development, that's mission driven.
Okay.
But Alan is a producer. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Repeat the question again.
I guess it just has to do how we could formulate the policy around adding, producers as a resource for programming.
He's basically asking, do we have one producer per program, or do we put producers in departments, or how do we allocate them?
Right.
Wow. I mean, my sense for that is the five stations have different budgets, and I think an unbinding, word or two from this committee would be on order that, I don't know how binding it could be, but I actually think when I heard what was being said earlier about this, certainly producers are very important, but editorial production, production and what we call a KPFK or production department where the editors are, that is as important as having producers. And depending what the budget of the stations are, a combination of the two, I think, should be very encouraged. I do think it's important for Pacifica to have a quality sound, and also, hiring producers.
Hi, this is Teresa. I'm back.
I mean, we want a diversity of voices, and I just think it's important when we encourage the hiring of producers that, and I certainly try myself to just facilitate the range of diverse voices that we have at KPFK.
Right.
So I think both go hand in hand. I thought the idea expressed earlier was very good, emphasize the need to have producers and production covered by staff members, but it's a troubling proposition with any producer hired that they might think it's their determination to control programming.
Right.
Serene,
can I get on the stack, please?
Yes, Serene, you're next.
And Ken, I'd like to be on the stack.
Serene, also back on the stack after Serene.
Who's that?
I can also get back on the stack after Serene, after the people.
Oh, Joe, okay.
Yeah.
Serene?
Did you get Ken on the stack?
Yes, I got you, Ken.
Yeah, at the risk of irritating some of my colleagues, not every producer, professionalism and payment aren't necessarily synonymous. There are people who do excellent programming who are unpaid, who have full-time jobs, and are not seeking payment from the station. So before we decide to pay producers, whether we're doing it, chief producer for the public affairs department, or the morning strip or the afternoon strip, which is how I think some people have set up their paid slots for production. Before we go to that approach, I think we really need to talk about training of all staff, on air staff as well as current unpaid production staff. Once money becomes involved, the battle for airtime becomes even more fierce than it is now. I don't think that people can work for free forever, and certainly there are people who the number of hours they spend on doing their show, it's at least a part-time job, even if they're on for 1 or 2 hours a week. So there are a lot of things to be concerned about, but I don't think that payment is necessarily the only thing that we should be concerned about, because you can certainly, you can get good work when people are paid, but I know of people who, as I say, do absolutely great work, and for them payment is not an issue.
Hey, Ken? Freeland? Okay, Ken. We lost Ken. Joe?
Good, this is Ken. Ken, I'm back.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I guess you could probably answer it, Rob. What happens currently with feedback to Pacifica about national programming? Like when we do, for example, the counter-inaugural and there's feedback on that, where does that feedback go?
I think that's received, anecdotally. People send emails to producers, or they'll send emails to Dan, or Davey D or Sonali will get a call, or if the show was produced here, the general manager, Ron Pinchback, will get it. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I've never seen, or I generally haven't seen, much in the way of wrapping up after we do one of these. In fact, I tried to get together after we did the counter-inaugural.
And there's no vehicle, on the website or anything to direct people to where they might center. Okay, that's all I want to know.
No, but I think
we need to note that in passing, and which I think suggests the need for a more formalized way of soliciting and systematizing that feedback.
Yeah, that without being bureaucratic, that goes back to Alan's point that if there was a process to this, we can learn from what we did and go on and do things better and differently.
Right.
It's just like when you're testing the technical things, if Odie and John can show up and make sure that your engineers run the test, you're less likely to have the problems, when thing goes into production. And Joe Winsala is next in the stack.
Yeah, I think Serena added an important dimension to the discussion, maybe even got to sort of where I was trying to go, what I was thinking about. The point that you made about producers not necessarily being paid. I think the way we think about that needs to be fleshed out a little more. I guess the way it was originally framed had to do in terms of, the station allocating, segments of their budget for producers. But, certainly that doesn't take into account producers who work, independent of that. So I think the policy can cover that and address, I guess, the structural relationship, the relationship between programmers, producers, and the editorial, various editorial committees of the programs or the stations.
Yeah, Serene made a very good point because what I said was we need to make sure that there are positions in the budget that do certain things. But we all know that the actual unpaid positions that we need to run the stations far exceed the number of paid staff.
Right.
And in fact, my sense is that where we drop the ball is probably we err more on the side of not having training and volunteer programs so that the volunteers that come in that are strong supporters can learn the things that they need to do, whether it's board operations, or running cool edit shows.
Right.
So, yes. Absolutely, we need people that are unpaid that are doing these things, whether they're doing it for a full-time equivalent or a part-time equivalent, just as much and more than we need paid staff because we can't afford all the paid staff.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that we do have to begin putting together for our stations, and this is a responsibility of us in governance. We should know what it costs to staff a community radio station properly. That doesn't mean that every station is going to have the same number of staff, the same people in different positions, but every one of our community radio stations ought to have a proper complement of people with the professional qualifications, and we ought to provide training for our volunteers if we're serious about being community radio.
Yeah.
So that's really the emphasis.
Yeah. The
Bonnie, could I get on stack, please?
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to say... maybe to inject. I don't know if there's an aspect of this that could address sort of the perennial problem we face in terms of programming policy or anybody come up with new programming ideas, how to address the question of airspace. And if there's a way we can develop initiatives to create airspace for new programming ideas, because and I don't know how to do that, but I'd like us to think about that, I guess. If people have any ideas, I guess I'm putting it out as a question more than as a statement.
Bonnie?
Thanks, Joe. Well, maybe I'm just tired. I'm just losing the thread a little bit here about how it is our place to be determining whether the radio stations have a certain number of producers or editors or anything else. In the case of KPFA, we can always use more producers, I suppose, but if we had more producers right now, we don't have an editing station or an analog editing situation in the station that isn't running 20 hours a day. We don't have room for more desks in the building. And I'm just not sure that us mandating something like that really serves any kind of purpose, because every one of these stations is different. You know, in the case of KPFA, we have the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, and we have the New World Center, and we have five different collectives of people also learning how to do programming and hoping to get themselves on the air. So I don't, maybe I'm just, maybe it's just me, but I'm not seeing how that can come from the programming committee down to the stations.
We're the sentiment is not that we dictate that there be a particular staffing pattern or that there be a particular number of staff of any description. It's simply that there need to be certain positions at certain professional levels and certain resources available for programming and production and post-production and all that to occur. It's basically saying that there should be minimal standards, that certain things must, resources have to be available. It's
but
not that we're mandating what they are or how many of them there are or where they are.
Isn't it assumed by all of us in whichever way we come at this through working for the station, whether it be, you know, from being on one of the boards or it being a staff member, that we are hoping to aspire to high production standards on all of our shows? I don't know. I just feel like it's not like if you were to say to me, here's what you ought to have, that a light bulb is going to go over all of us staff people's heads, and we're going to go, wow, we never thought of that. Sorry, I'm just, I guess I just don't have the thread of this.
Well, this is Ken. I want to suggest that maybe what Rob is suggesting is that, that when it comes down to the budgeting, the station's budgeting decision making, that this would be where it would have an impact, and that resources would need to be allocated to assure the provision of certain resources, minimal resources, to make sure that quality production is possible. That was what I was sensing from it.
Well,
yeah, that's
go ahead. I just, you know, I'll keep trying to grasp here.
Okay. All right, I think we're done with that portion. That's the direction I'd like to go with in terms of the areas where I think we need to have some written policies, however brief, however general. Is that clear? Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the old business section. We had the race and nationality discussion. I had a brief discussion with Eva Georgia, and she indicated that she would love to address us, so we're going to try to get her to come on to the next call that we're having, which is going to be on May the 16th, to talk to us about that. In a discussion that I had with Bonnie suggested that maybe the best thing for us to do, and if this makes sense, we'll do a resolution, or we can just write a letter. But what we may want to do is write something to Eva that says each one of our stations has certain resources which you may use in developing the international Spanish language newscast. So, for example, I don't know all the programs at KPFA, but I do know that David Bacon, who covers labor, does a lot of good writing about the labor movement in Central and South America. So he's a resource that they've got. We have a number of embassies here in D.C. and places like the Library of Congress and the Smithsonian that bring artists and writers and historians and politicians from South America in all the time that would be available to be interviewed or to speak or to have their events covered. So would it make sense for us to try to inventory what we've got at the different stations in terms of programming and voices and areas of expertise and put that down and forward that to Eva Georgia at KPFK, whose station is going to have the lead for this Spanish language newscast?